Here we're differentiating the mood disorders and whether or not they are mild or severe, and whether or not the emotional state is stable, maintained over time, or alternating, that is, changing over time. The borderline between mild and severe is simply a borderline between whether or not you need to be hospitalized, severe, or whether you don't need to be hospitalized. That would be mild. If you have a mild but stable depressed state, we call that dysthymia. If you have a stable but severe depressed state, we call that unipolar depression or major depression. If you have an alternating mild mood, where you go up and come down and up and come down, we call that cyclothymia. If you have an alternating severe, where you have wide swings up and wide swings down, we call that bipolar disorder, also called in the old lexicon manic depression. This simple table gives you the differential among these different subtypes. The issue on the mild to severe axis is one of how disruptive it is to day-to-day activities and your capacity to cope in the world around you. We're going to talk about each one of these in turn, starting with dysthymia. Dysthymia, also referred to as non-psychotic depression, these are people that have depressed mood. Now, depression doesn't mean you feel sad. Depression means, people describe more as you feel numb. It's not black, it's everything is gray. It's a loss of interest or loss of sense of pleasure about just about anything. And key for dysthymia, it must be chronic, at least 2 years. This is not merely how you feel for a month or so. This is an ongoing, continuous process that does not resolve itself by itself. Now, it's not severe enough to require hospitalization, but it does have you function at a suboptimal level for this extended period of time. Appetite either increases or decreases. Sleep either increases or decreases. Different people respond and cope differently here. Fatigue is one of the most common presenting symptoms. Few people ever walk into their physician and say, I have dysthymia, not knowing the term. They'll say, I just feel tired all the time. I don't know why I don't have any energy. Decreased self-esteem is part of the package. People just don't think they can do things or accomplish things. There's a sense of hopelessness, like it will never change and this will go on forever. They report difficulty concentrating in simple tasks. They're distracted by their mood. Focusing on simple content is difficult. Again, the problem here is not that the patient is dysfunctional. They can continue to drag on through their entire life like this. The issue is they're functioning at a suboptimal level. Cyclothymia, by contrast. Cyclothymia is alternating states from manic to depression. The difference between cyclothymia and bipolar is not one of periodicity. It's one of amplitude. If bipolar is way up and way down, cyclothymia is a little up and a little down, back and forth, back and forth. Again, chronic. This is not how your mood changes over the course of a week or over the course of a month. This is how you are basically on a lifetime basis. You should note that cyclothymia is egosyntonic. People that have this cyclothymic pattern do not think they have a problem. In fact, many of them like it. The little bit of mania they get gives them some energy, which can often be harnessed to accomplish tasks. Lifetime prevalence, less than 1%. So if you're sitting out there thinking you have cyclothymia, probably not. When you hear the hoofbeats, folks, this is a zebra, not a horse. It's something that you're frankly not very likely to encounter. Now, it didn't fit into our little 2x2 table, but we need to talk about seasonal affective disorder, the appropriately lettered SAD, so let's talk about it here. Seasonal affective disorder, we're talking about depressive symptoms during the winter months. You have symptoms of depression, but they're targeted annually in the months that have the least amount of light. And by that, you know that seasonal affective disorder is linked to melatonin metabolism. The symptoms here are basically depressive symptoms, but we talk about atypical symptoms, usually increased sleep, increased appetite, and yet despite that extra sleep and fuel, you have decreased energy. There's fatigue and difficulty concentrating. The treatment, we don't need tricyclics, we don't need SSRIs here because it's melatonin. So we're going to treat with bright light therapy, not, as I mentioned previously, with melatonin tablets. If you have to choose on the exam between melatonin tablets and bright light therapy, go with the bright light therapy. And there's one other answer to a question that has been asked in this topic on the exam. You had a patient that had depression in the winter months and they ask you what to do, and the correct answer is have them take a vacation to a sunny place every January. That solves the problem, gets them into bright light. Let's talk about unipolar depression. Unipolar disorder, also called major depression, this is the main mood disorder, meaning the most common of the severe mood disorders. In order to have major depression, symptoms have to be for at least 2 weeks. We're talking about severe change from previous level of functioning, severely dysfunctional. Remember, unipolar means you really need to be hospitalized. Doesn't mean you will be, but it means that's what you need. So if you're taking your exam in 1 week, and between now and then you just feel terrible, you can't concentrate, nothing's fun, it's not unipolar depression. It doesn't match the criterion of at least 2 weeks. If you feel bad for a week, that's considered within the normal range. We all feel bad sometimes. Depression is not anytime you feel bad. Depression is that feeling that doesn't go away. The symptoms are anhedonia. Anhedonia doesn't simply mean you can't experience pleasure. It's worse than that. It means you can't even imagine what pleasure would in fact be like. No motivation. It's hard even to get out of bed in the morning. It doesn't seem like there's any value in doing anything. I ask you to recall that learned helplessness concept. There's a sense that you're worthless. I'm not good for anything. I can't even read the simple newspaper. My weight goes way down or way up, and depressed mood. And now you're talking about a sense of numbness such that you can't even feel anything. Recurrent thoughts are common. Recurrent thoughts that if you're not careful and you're focusing just on that, you might confuse it with obsessive behavior. These are not really obsessions, but they are ideas that keep recurring that you can't seem to get out of your head. Sleep patterns change. Either you can't sleep at all, common especially at the beginning of the depression, or you have hypersomnia, whereas the depression goes on, you might sleep more. Psychomotor agitation or retardation, whether it's an anxious depression or whether people just feel like there's no reason to do anything. Somatic complaints are a common part of the profile. Headaches, back pains, often GI problems. This is often the reason that physicians first discover the depressed patient. Some patients will come in and say, I have depression, I think, but usually they're going to appear at the doctor with some sort of somatic complaint. We want you to recognize the depression behind the somatic complaints. As in everything on this exam, we want you to deal with not simply what the patient presents, we want you clear what is the underlying issue behind what the patient presents. Delusions and hallucinations? Absolutely yes, if mood congruent. Mood congruent would be it matches this notion of being worthless or life is terrible. If you feel like all your internal organs are somehow decomposing into sand, that's a mood congruent delusion. If you think people are out to kill you, that's a mood congruent delusion. It's actually the result of a defense mechanism of projection, where you're projecting out what might be the suicidal ideation. Loss of sex drive is almost mandatory here. People that have serious depression are not thinking about having sex. Over half of these people have suicidal ideation, but notice the other figure. That means about half of them do not have any suicidal ideation. I know the main thing you're looking for to diagnose depression is suicidal ideation, but a number of depressed people do not have it. Think, if you were writing an exam question where the patient was depressed, would you include or exclude suicidal ideation? I'd exclude it, because I'd expect you to find it from the other symptoms. 15% of these patients do die by suicide. Depression is a fatal, or can be fatal, disease. Now, there's a number of biological correlates as we begin to get an increasingly better sense of what happens to people when they're depressed. PET scans show abnormally high glucose metabolism in the amygdala of depressed people. If you reflect for a moment, this should make some sense. The amygdala, along with other functions, is important in emotional memory. And in a sense, what's happening in this major depression is emotion is overwhelming your cognitive view of the world, and so your feeling comes to determine what reality is. can see at the same time, we have smaller hippocampus and an atrophy with longer depression. Hippocampus, again, involved in a number of functions, but certainly it's where you get the cognitive mapping of the world around you and access to cognitive information. Again, it's as if emotion is overwhelming cognitive structure and content. You also find abnormally high levels of glucocorticoids, whatever. Neurochemical changes. Decreases in norepinephrine, decreases in serotonin, decreases in dopamine, and the metabolites of all these are decreased. Easy to remember, it's depression. Everything is decreased. It's that serious. The other very serious mood disorder is called bipolar disorder, what we used to call in the old lexicon, manic depression. Here, you have all the symptoms that we just talked about for major depression. Everything I just said, boom, it's still true here. Plus, you have that manic side. You have this persistently elevated mood. You're up all the time. It has to be persistent. It's not just you're happy for a moment or you've had a good day. This is something that endures. Now note, there's no separate diagnosis of mania. If you have a patient that has this up, expansive mood, they are bipolar. That's the only diagnosis you have available. If you've never seen them depressed, you just haven't seen it yet. Bipolar people alternate between depression and mania, back and forth. Sometimes this alternation can be very rapid, within 48 to 72 hours. We call this, not surprisingly, rapidly cycling bipolar disorder. That term is important because it does have some effect on the type of pharmacology we're going to use. How do you recognize when somebody is manic? Well, it's usually fairly easy, but the list of symptoms is instructive. They have great increased self-esteem or grandiosity. They are it. They can do anything. Yet at the same time, they have low frustration tolerance. Put simple barriers in their way. Instead of energizing to overcome them, they are defeated. Decreased need for sleep, not surprisingly. And flight of ideas. Flight of ideas means the ideas are coming so thick and fast, like planes or cars whipping by you, it's hard to hold on to these great ideas you think you have. Excessive involvement activities. People volunteer for everything. People want to be engaged in all the projects going on around them. Weight loss and anorexia are a common part of the profile. Now, by anorexia here, I do not mean anorexia nervosa. I mean you're so energized, you're so active, you're so involved that you simply don't eat. And of course, weight loss and anorexia to the point of anorexia is the result. Erratic and uninhibited behavior, yes, the notion of the boundaries that regulate social conduct quickly disappear. And there's increased libido. Increased libido, what I mean is people like and have more energy for having sex. This is an important clinical issue. It's one of the key reasons why it's hard to keep bipolar people on the medication.